Rabbi, Shalom Aleichem and Aguta Moyin. Okay, I want to continue Be'ezus Hashem, what we've been discussing, again referring back to what we talked about a couple of nights ago and elaborating a bit on a different aspect of what we spoke about last time. We've been talking about understanding that Sukkos, in a large way, is an introduction course to living in Olam Hazeh. The other night we discussed the aspects of how to relate to Gashmias, how to relate to physicality, how to merge it into, bring it onto the same track as our service of Hashem, as the spiritual. And now I want to relate to another aspect. We spoke about the Arba Minim, how they represent the various facets of the physical. Now I want to talk about the Sukkah. The Sukkah, as a reliving, if you will, I like to say that better than commemoration, to relive Hashem having settled us, in Sukkos in the desert. So again, I'm elaborating on a point that we touched on earlier, but at a bit more length. In the desert, when Hashem was founding the Jewish people, He moved them out of the sphere of natural existence. The desert was not a place that could sustain human life. And the Jewish people were living there for 40 years, absolutely vulnerable, meaning they were not on natural ground at all. They were not on natural ground at all. The entire existence depended directly on Hashem's direct intervention. There was no food, there was no shelter, and they needed Hashem for everything. They needed Hashem to be there in a very direct way, providing them with the clouds to keep them safe, or supernaturally protecting them in their sukkahs. Right, so the dispute in the Gemara, what exactly we're commemorating, whether we're commemorating the clouds, or whether we're simply commemorating the sukkah that each individual made for himself in the Midbar. Whatever the case is, we are celebrating the supernatural protection that Hashem provided. The food was the mun. There was no natural food there. The water was the well of Miriam. No natural water there. And this was a tough existence. It wasn't easy to exist this way. We like to feel like our feet are on solid ground. And here the Jewish people are being challenged with living an existence of complete dependence on Hashem without feeling, we like the security of feeling that we have a certain hold on things, a certain familiarity to the way the world runs. And they were not given this in the Midbar. Hashem wanted to train them to a higher reality of learning to exist in the hands of Hashem, entirely in the hands of Hashem. And it was tough, because you have to realize, in the Midbar, if something were to go wrong, if Hashem decided that they needed to be punished for something, He didn't necessarily need to actually make something happen, to bring some calamity. All He had to do is just withdraw the supernatural protection a little bit, and automatically problems would set in. They would be attacked. They would be attacked by the elements, be attacked by hostile nations that surrounded them. The snakes, okay, that was the reality of the Midbar there. Epidemics, etc. This was all the reality of the Midbar. And it was very, very tough knowing that my existence depends on keeping up to a high spiritual standard. And you know what? To an extent, this was also part of the problem of the Meraglim. When they saw that the people in Eretz Canaan were such monstrous people, and that it's a land that it's hard to survive, and they're not going to be able to beat these nations, etc., there was kind of like a certain sense of, when we're going from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, we would like to think that we're going back to a normal existence. It's an uncomfortable existence, an existence of completely depending on Hashem in such a direct way, and of our survival, our welfare, basically being a reflection of our spiritual performance. They would have liked to think that going back into Canaan, okay, we'll be back with our feet on the ground. According to some understandings, when they came to realize that in Canaan, no, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to be facing nations that are really stronger than you, etc. And if you're going to want to survive, you are going to maintain a high spiritual standard. And you're going to continue to need Hashem's direct intervention. You're not just going to be back in a place where, you know, with your feet on the ground, back on solid ground, back to comfortable, good old comfortable, natural existence. Many of them felt, you know, we can't handle this. Let's just go back to Mitzrayim. And you know what? It was for that reason that Hashem said, you know what? This generation, I'm not going to be able to take them into Eretz Yisrael. Because I do need a people who can move into Eretz Yisrael on the contrary, with a mentality of the Dor HaMidbar, with a mentality of, yes, my existence is solely in Hashem's hand, and there is no good old natural existence. And that's why, you know what, Hashem said, it's not going to be the first generation that actually remembered Mitzrayim, remembered natural existence. I want to bring into Eretz Canaan a generation that grew up in the Midbar. That for them, living on the basis of Hashem's direct involvement is normal, is what they're used to. Because this is how Hashem wants His people to live. Yes, He wants to move them into Eretz Canaan, into Eretz Yisrael. He wants to move them back into Olam Hazeh. He wants to move them back into the natural world. But to be able to continue to live, as we discussed, to continue to live with the reality of, if I have a house, that is Hashem's clouds surrounding me. Hashem providing me with that supernatural protection. If I have food, that is man that Hashem is providing me with every day. It isn't just normal. That's the way the world works. If I have water, so my sink, or the Kinneret, or the Jordan River, whatever the sources of water are the well that Hashem is providing me with water with. And this is how Hashem wants us to exist. And therefore, Hashem tells us, again, as an introduction course into living in the material world, I want you to move into Sukkot, right, at the beginning of the year. As you're beginning your new foray into the material world, I want you to move into Sukkot to go back and re-experience living under Hashem's direct divine protection, to regain that mentality, to regain that experience, to regain that way of living. And then, yeah, to be able to move back into your house with the sense of, I live in Hashem's protection. See, when you're out in the sukkah, you should look up at the schach, which has to be something more flimsy. It's not allowed to be of the same nature as a proper ceiling of a home. And look up and you say, I am now living in Hashem's hands. I'm now not living with natural protection. I'm living in Hashem's hands. And really, this is my existence all the time. Now, the truth is, we've said this a number of times. This is what we call the other side of the coin of bitachon. And Sukkot really, in essence, is a Yom Tov of Bitachon. Bitachon meaning trusting Hashem in the day-to-day. Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah, of believing in Hashem, knowing that He's there, having been introduced to Him, having been exposed to Hashem. That is Pesach. Hashem came and exposed Himself, introduced Himself to us. We gained that Emunah, we gained that knowledge of Hashem. But what is Sukkot? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in a very spectacular way. But then, He provided us with ongoing maintenance, with ongoing sustenance, and kept us alive in an ongoing way. This is what Sukkot is celebrating. And therefore, What's that? The keeping us alive and ongoing way, it's that. It's that sense of our continued survival. Our life from day to day is being carried by Hashem. It's being carried by Hashem. We are in Hashem's hands. And yeah, this is the Yom Tov of Sukkot. It's that knowledge that we continue until this very day, not just that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in a most spectacular way, we know that He's there, but the understanding that till this very day, it's Hashem who's carrying us through the various stages of history, providing us with His protection, and our day-to-day, we're going through in Hashem's hands. Just note in parentheses that this is especially relevant now, but you know that story that they say, I don't think it comes from a Jewish source. I think it comes from a non-Jewish source. But it's a very good point, nevertheless. Right? You know, the story that they say about the fellow who had a vision of his life mapped out as like footprints in the sand. And he saw, throughout most of the path of his life, he saw two sets of footprints, which he understood was, you know, one was his own, and one was, so to speak, as it were, the footprints of Hashem, who was accompanying him and guiding him down the path of life. But then he noticed that Dafka at the junctures, which were the more trying times of his life, the more difficult times of his life, there was only one set of footprints there. And he took that as, these were the difficult points in life. Hashem left me alone at these times. So he asked Hashem, why weren't you there then? And Hashem said, you misunderstood what you were seeing. You misunderstood what you were seeing. You thought that one set of footprints was yours? On the contrary, that was actually mine. It was during those times that you don't see your own set of footprints because I was carrying you in those times. Therefore, you only see my set of footprints. Again, like I said, I don't think this has a Jewish source, but it's a very true point. But there's another point here. And that is that there are two sides to the coin of Bitachon. Bitachon is the trust that Hashem is caring for us. This is so when things are tough, and this is usually where we apply the concept of Bitachon. When things are tough, we are meant to remember that we're in very good hands. We've been learning this in the Chavis all of us lately, right? That we're meant to remember that we are being carried in the caring hands of someone who's all-capable, knows what's best for us better than us, and whatever he's doing is in accordance with that plan. But there's another side of the coin to this, and that is, how does Bitachon come into play when everything is fine? When Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy, I'm secure, my parnasa is decent, where does Bitachon come into play then? Is Bitachon only relevant for times of trial? No, Bitachon is a very fundamental ingredient of the spiritual composition of any Jew. And Bitachon is something we have to be working on all the time, but how do you work on it when everything is okay? But the answer is, on the contrary, the essence of Bitachon is the understanding that you are in Hashem's hands. We might think of it only when we need to feel that, because I feel like things are out of control. But the truth is that perhaps an even greater level is that when everything's fine and you feel like everything is in control, you have to, at that point, be able to acknowledge and to realize and to live with the sense that, no, the reason that everything is fine now is because I am in Hashem's hands. You know why my parnasa is okay right now? Because Hashem is providing it. You know why I'm safe and secure right now? Because Hashem is protecting me. Right? We say in Ishmas, Berov zantanu v'savakil kaltanu. In times of hunger, you sustained us, and in times of plenty, you provided for us. We're making this point. We think of depending on Hashem when things are rough, but when things are okay, when things are under control, we don't necessarily need Hashem's intense involvement in our life right now. No, the meat of Bitachon dictates that, on the contrary, that's when you should acknowledge that Hashem is even more intensely involved with you right now. Everything is fine. Realize that fine, that everything being okay, is Hashem's great chesed to you. It's Hashem not even letting you experience. Right now, He's carrying you in such an intense way and cushioning you in such an intense way that you're not even feeling any vicissitudes, such that you don't even need, you might even think, I don't need Hashem right now. Now, the story that they say, I'll end with this little anecdote, a story that they say about young man, was a Talmud of Rav Shach, got married, and about a year later they were blessed with a daughter, and he wanted to come tell his revered Rebbe Rav Shach that he had a daughter, but he felt a little funny, you know, it was like a very standard, you know, story. He got married at the age of 22, Baruch Hashem at the age of 23, he had a daughter, like, you know, Rav Shach has thousands of Talmidim, ho-hum, like what? So he came into Rav Shach, he wanted to share the news, but he felt a little silly. And he kind of told him, half apologetically, Baruch Hashem, we had a daughter, we're making a kiddushol, that was the way he expressed it, a kiddushol, like a little kiddush. So Rav Shach understood what the guy felt, and he told him, one minute, say, wait a minute, sit down here, I want to ask you something. He said, imagine that you've been married for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you still weren't blessed with a child. Oh, how much would I have been hearing from you? You would have been coming to me, weeping, begging me to daven for you, to give you brachas. I would have given you brachas. You'd been going to every Rebbe and trying every treatment and doing everything you possibly could. 16 years, 17 years. Finally, after 17 years, you'd be blessed with a daughter. How would you come into me? How would you come into me? You would break down the doors. You'd come bursting in full of excitement, right? And you wouldn't make a kiddushel. You would make such a grand affair. You'd take one of the biggest ballrooms in the country, right? So Rav Shach told him, now look what Hashem did to you, for you. He gave you all this, but he had spared you those 17 years of anguish. Shouldn't your simcha be even greater? This is the mentality that we're talking about. It's to train ourselves to realize that when everything is fine, when everything is secure, dafka then we go out to the sukkah to remember that we are, at the end of the day, still frail, helpless, and if everything is fine, it's because we're in Hashem's hand and He's caring for us. And if we're concerned about different things, we do have different concerns, we go out into the sukkah. And we relive the experience of the Jewish people in the desert, knowing that they are being cared for by Hashem, that yes, they do not have any natural material means of existence, of survival, but they are in Hashem's hands. We go out in the sukkah for these 7 days and we live that. We live being in Hashem's hands. We live being comfortable with the fact that naturally we're very vulnerable. We do not have our own security. We do not have our own protection. But we are secure in the knowledge that we are safely ensconced in Hashem's loving grip. And He's the one carrying us. He's the one protecting us. He's the one caring for us. And this is the way we move into the material world. This is the way Hashem expected the Jewish people to move into life in Eretz Yisrael after having been in the Midbar for 40 years. He wanted them to carry that consciousness. And this is the way Hashem ushers us into a new year in the material world, coming down from the Yom HaNeroyim, coming down from the great days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hashem is telling us, you're going to enter the material world again. Enter it through the sukkah. Enter it through the sukkah. Sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Gain the experience of what existence means in my hands. And then go carry that with you into the material world for all of Tavshin Pei Aleph. And with us Hashem, we should taka b'zeicha to Hashem's protection in these difficult times. We should get the full effect of the sukkah's protection and elevation, with us Hashem. And we should hear b'seiris tevis on all fronts, reshfuas and yeshuas to all of Klal Yisrael, with us Hashem. Okay, we'll conclude, we'll unmute, and we'll part.